Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Fracking, or if you want to be technical, horizontal hydraulic fracturing, has been an increasingly popular but also increasingly controversial way to extract natural gas and oil from underground rock formations. It's being used in several states. It's already had an impact on natural gas prices in the country, sending them down. But there are also concerns about its safety. Here in Illinois, fracking is not being conducted of this type anyway, but there is a bill to regulate it, and which would let in the businesses which are definitely interested in conducting fracking in Illinois. The bill is a compromise bill, and it represents negotiations made by both industry and the environmental movement. Some parts of the environmental movement, however, have been critical of the bill and say it gives too much away. We're going to be talking about that bill and about fracking in Illinois today with people on both sides of the issue who worked on the bill. And we're going to start our hour by talking with a reporter who's been covering the bill in Springfield. And so first, I want to say good morning to Illinois Public Radio State House reporter Amanda Vinicky. How's the weather in Springfield, Amanda?
You know, it is super sunny shining into my office as I look over the Capitol Dome right now. Chilly, of course, but good morning to you, Jim.
Well, welcome to Focus, and I just want to take a moment here to say that we welcome all of you listening to the conversation as well. You can join us on the air with questions about fracking and this fracking bill at 333-9455, 800-222-9455. If you're outside the Champaign-Urbana area, you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Focus 580. Amanda, I have the Illinois General Assembly webpage in front of me. It notes House Bill 2615. I take it John Bradley is the lead sponsor?
Exactly. And actually, there was a hearing this morning when I spoke with Representative Bradley last night. He said, I'm not sure if he was going to call it or not. That did not occur early this morning. So that measure is still out there. The latest movement has been that he filed a new amendment to the legislation that is causing a bit of a ruckus. As you said, Jim, this is compromise legislation reached by the business community who say that this will bring upwards of 45,000 jobs to the state potentially and eventually, as well as the oil and natural gas industry who are interested in coming to Illinois and getting into that New Albany shale that is in the southeastern part of the state. They're interested in getting in there, as well as some of the environmentalists. But there's so much that goes into it. It has taken months to get to this point, and they just last week, and we can get more into this soon, came up with an agreement on tax rates, basically how much all of these companies that will be doing it will be paying per barrel and as they get in and do the fracking. But the latest amendment that is causing consternation for some is unions that basically want to have very strict regulations when they go in and when they kind of set up the drilling. So that's the latest. These contractors that set the well contractors that set things up, and that's something that business folks say kind of makes the whole deal null and void for them because it would be so costly and so overregulated there. So
you're saying that the business groups see this, and I take it this is House Committee Amendment Number 3.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Which went from Rules to the Revenue and Finance Committee, which is chaired by Representative Bradley. Mm-hmm. But you said there was no hearing today.
Exactly.
And so, and business groups are saying this may be a non-starter.
Exactly. So they don't like that amendment, that add-on that would have these regulations that would basically bring in union workers to do the well contracting is the simplest way to say that. It's unclear if that is another sort of – so much here is beyond just the issue of fracking, and I know you have people set up that can get really into the details of the business components as well as the environmental aspects of it. But what I can really speak to is the politics of things, and let me tell you that there are are so many potential reasons that it could be for that. Of course, Democrats have strong relationships with unions. There are big campaigns coming up, and for a statewide office, including Representative Bradley, he's mentioned as one of the up-and-comers who may be looking for higher office. There are components that this could be made to kind of put something out there that's harsher and then use it as a negotiating tool to get a different sort of regulation. So it's really unclear at this point what that's intended to do or what it will do, if it will even ever be called.
So this bill is not a fait accompli at this point.
You know, everybody kind of thought so when you had, and it was striking to have business groups and environmental groups such as the Sierra Club and the Natural Resources Defense Council stand side by side and announce that they had an agreement. What makes it potentially maybe this won't actually be the bill that goes forward are two things. First of all, you have, again, this latest amendment that some suspect could be a poison pill. I don't know if that is the case or not. I think that there are enough people who, we're not sure that Bradley will actually call it and that this is going to be a part of the final package. But also, I think that those who want fracking will be able to swallow a lot in order to get that ability in Illinois. But also, the very powerful House Speaker, Michael Madigan, has said that he favors a moratorium. And as you noted in your introduction, not all environmentalists are on board with this agreement. There are plenty who say that this is unsafe. They are unsure of the consequences, that it seems dangerous and frightening to pump not only water, but lots of chemicals deep underground where it could get into aquifers, water supply. This is the time of drought. What is Illinois thinking? So House Speaker Mike Madigan saying he favors a moratorium. There's a lot to read. He didn't really say much, and there's so much that can be read into that.
And I'm wondering, this bill has 53 sponsors. Some of them are Democrats. Mm-hmm. And how hard and firm is he going to stand by that call to not do anything about the bill right now?
Exactly. So the speaker just saying that he favors a moratorium, would this be somewhere where he would exert his power and favor a moratorium to the point that he wouldn't let a regulatory bill go forward? That he never has said that, and that is, I would suspect, not the case. Perhaps this is something that he's doing to separate his position from his daughter, Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who is looking to potentially run for governor, and there is a lot of question as to if he would stay on as speaker. Maybe he's looking to separate himself from a position because Attorney General Madigan was very involved in the negotiations to get this regulatory bill set up. Maybe some suspect that was something to get the companies more on board. Despite there being a big announcement that there was a compromise, there was still some unfinished business, and including the tax rate that I had mentioned. And so, lo and behold, just after Madigan made a comment, and there was a lot of news and press, I was there when he said, yeah, I favor a ban, you better believe that brought businesses to the table, and that was what sealed an agreement on the tax component.
So just by saying that maybe he did not support a bill at this time, he actually brought in more progress on the bill?
Exactly. Very much so. When the speaker says something, you better believe that everybody in this Capitol listens. He is not one to speak publicly very often, and he speaks with purpose. So that's where it left kind of the whole Capitol wondering, is this just how he feels? I know I'd spoken with the speaker over the summer, for example, and he had previously, actually in the last session, been the sponsor of a fracking moratorium. So perhaps this is just a longstanding belief. And when he said, you know, look at what happened in Pennsylvania, where there are a lot of health concerns and questions if fracking did lead to seepage of chemicals and such into water supply that is causing health issues for farm animals as well as for people that live in that area. Maybe that's all it is. Or maybe it is so much more and was meant to bring companies to the table, or perhaps some even question to elicit campaign donations. It's really, when the speaker talks, again, there are so many ways to read into it, and it left everybody wondering.
This bill has a lot of sponsors. I was wondering if you've been able to look at them on a map and see if any of them are from the area of Southern Illinois that where fracking would occur if this bill is passed?
You know, let me double check there. I have not actually looked at the whole list of sponsors, but obviously, I mean, Southern Illinois is where Representative Bradley himself is from. And so there, I think you have, and looking actually now at this sponsor list, it appears as if, yes, we have another Southern Illinoisan, for instance, Representative Phelps. There are many that are from the suburban area, Cavaletta. There's really a mix here. And I think what you have is for people that are in the areas, there are residents and environmentalists that are concerned, that don't want this in their backyard, no matter how many thousands of feet below the yard and the lawn it is. But then you also have individuals that say, gosh, this will bring in jobs. And you look at Southern Illinois, you look at Southeastern Illinois, where they're very much hurting in some of those areas and could really use an economic boost. So, sure, you better believe that legislators from those areas want that.
I had noticed a news item that just very recently the Murfreesboro City Council had gone on record as opposing fracking, and I was trying to figure out how to read that. Does that show a part of a lot of opposition to fracking in areas that would occur? Is Murfreesboro in Jackson County actually part of that potential fracking region? And since it's just a few miles away from the Southern Illinois University Carbondale campus, is it in some ways a bedroom for community for a lot of people from the university community who might be more hostile to fracking than, say, longtime residents of Southern Illinois who feel their region could use the income?
Exactly. And I think that what you just said, Jim, really gets to the heart of how controversial this is. So you have Murfreesboro, and yet the legislators from that area backing this because they want the jobs. You have, again, we mentioned the Sierra Club. The executive director of the Sierra Club was one of the individuals who stood side by side with businesses and kind of gave a boost to this regulatory proposal, which some have even said could be a national model. And yet he says, no, we're just doing that because we also prefer a moratorium, but something is better than nothing. We want a seat at the table. Fracking is inevitable, perhaps. That is the least what Governor Pat Quinn has said. He mentioned it in his budget address as a job boost, an economic boost for Illinois. It's coming, so let's get it right. And yet you have a lot of the local Sierra Club chapters coming out against it, even, again, as the statewide director comes forward. And so that gets to the battle within the environmental community with those saying, hey, the Sierra Club sold us out. So I think that it's very hard to say that just given an area or a region how that leans. And it could be, and it very much depends, as legislators make this question, on campaign donations always, but also their own personal beliefs, because they're going to be getting letters and phone calls on both sides.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move along to the our other guests who worked on the bill and ask them what they think, how they think things are going. Amanda Vinicky, thank you very much for giving us the view from the State House on this.
No problem. Thank you. It was great talking with you.
Take care. This is Focus on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows, and the issue right now is fracking and a bill in Springfield which would regulate fracking, a compromise bill, but which still has opposition from some environmental groups. We have three other guests scheduled this morning. I think they are all with me, so I'm going to do a little roll call and say hello to State Representative Ann Williams. Are you there with us?
I am. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning, Ann. And Alan Grosbol of the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
Jim, I'm here. Glad to be with you.
Okay. And Tom Wolf of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce.
I'm also here, Jim. Happy Thursday. It's always a good time to talk about energy.
Okay. Now, if I understand correctly, and you are a chief co-sponsor of the bill and also the chair of the Illinois Green Caucus.
Yes, I am one of the chief co-sponsors of the compromise legislation, having participated in the negotiations and discussions leading up to the bill.
And Alan and Tom, were both of you involved in negotiations on this bill?
Well, my organization, Environmental Law and Policy Center, was at the table, and We have been involved with the announcement, and we do support the legislation.
And Tom, have you worked on this bill, and where is the state chamber on this?
The Illinois Chamber of Commerce is part of a larger coalition called Grow Illinois, a coalition of business and industry folks who have been at the table from the beginning, working with folks like the LPC and Ann on compromise legislation, and we're also supportive of the legislation that was negotiated until recently.
Well, Tom, if I can start with you, how important do you feel that it is to have fracking available to conduct in Illinois?
Well, I think it's an opportunity. I mean, the New Albany Shale play in southeastern Illinois, no one knows for sure. I've talked to geologists and industry folks. No one knows for sure exactly what's going to come out of the ground, if anything. But it's an opportunity for an industry to come here who's not looking for a handout. They're not looking for tax breaks. They're looking for a regulatory roadmap to come in here and extract oil or gas from Illinois, and obviously the economic benefits that come with that. Obviously, if the chamber wants that done in an environmentally responsible way, that's why we were part of the negotiations and why we think what eventually came out of it was we were supportive of until this latest hiccup. But we think this is a great opportunity. I mean, we did a study late last year with Illinois State University, and we figured out it's going to be between 1,000 and 47,000 jobs in southeastern Illinois. And the reason the range is so big is because no one knows exactly how much is in the ground and what's going to come out of it. We're hopeful it's on the higher end, but we're not making predictions about what's going to happen. We don't think we're in a position to turn our backs on this potential industry.
I just want to make sure I understand how the law lies in Illinois. Could fracking go on now with the laws and regulations that exist? Would this bill just make it simpler from a regulatory view, or is it absolutely necessary?
The industry, the people that I represent, didn't think it was necessary. You could get permits from the DNR to drill in Illinois. There's oil and gas drilling in Illinois all the time. Illinois gets about 20,000 barrels a day of oil out of southern Illinois, which is not a lot, but it's some. But the environmental community and the legislature and the Attorney General's office wanted a tougher structure. They first wanted a moratorium, but that couldn't pass, and so we all sat down at the table to figure out what I call a regulatory roadmap or a sweet spot that allows the industry to move forward and protects the environment, and I think that for the most part that got accomplished.
Alan Grosbol, your group, the Environmental Law and Policy Center, would you rather not have fracking than have it?
Well, we began this process supporting a moratorium. We felt that in Illinois, there is almost no regulation of fracking in this state today. And we felt that rather than allow that to begin happening in this state, it would be wise for the state to take time for a moratorium in order to draft up a very tough law dealing with fracking. So we began as a supporter of the moratorium concept. But when it became apparent that we did not have the votes to pass it, and we were given the opportunity to sit at the table and help negotiate a tough bill, we chose to do that. We believe that this is a very tough bill. And I actually want to correct something that was said earlier. I think the phrase was used that there are some that believe that this bill gives away too much. This bill doesn't give away anything to the industry. Right now, a company that does fracking could come into Illinois, plunk down $100, and they could start fracking.
That's right now without the bill.
That's exactly right. There is no moratorium in Illinois, and there are almost no regulations dealing with water, dealing with air, dealing with land pollution. So it was extremely important in our minds, and I think Representative Williams will agree with this, that we needed to put into place very tough regulations. If we failed to pass this, then we're looking at a situation where the industry could come in and with very few regulations begin fracking in Illinois. So for people to say that this bill gives away too much, the bill gives away nothing. The bill, in fact, puts into place very tough regulations that otherwise would not be there.
And Jim, if I may, this is Tom. I want to agree with Al on that. This is the toughest regulatory model in the country. The members that I talk to are in the industry say it is. They think it's a model they can work under. After 10 months of negotiations, they came up with this model with the environmental community. But, yeah, this is not a giveaway to industry in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and if I could just echo the sentiments of Al and give you a little context from a legislative perspective. Last spring, I joined a number of my colleagues and the environmental advocacy community to push for a moratorium on fracking. I voted for it in committee. I co-sponsored the legislation. But the reality was we were unable to move it forward, and it had a significant lack of support. At the same time, key legislative leaders were moving forward industry-friendly language, which we, from an environmental perspective, felt far short of what we need to see to protect the environment adequately. So at that time, we made a strategic decision to push for the most stringent restrictive regulations possible. And environmental leaders in the legislature, including Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry, Naomi Jacobson, and I, we joined the Attorney General, the Environmental Law and Policy Center, ALS Group, the National Regulatory Defense, National Resources Defense Council, and other environmental groups in really pushing for these regulations. And I think it's important to point out this wasn't a choice between fracking or no fracking. The choice is between fracking with no or little regulation or fracking with strong regulations, strong disclosure provisions, strong protections for the water and air, and a lot of opportunities for public input in the process.
Is what you're saying then, if a moratorium was put in place, really that would only be a moratorium on passing any more laws, that industry could come in and begin fracking with little regulation?
No, the moratorium was a proposal to not allow any fracking in Illinois until such time as a serious regulatory scheme was developed. That's what the proposal was. In effect, a strong regulatory process has now been put into place, and we're pleased with that. I do want to clarify this, though. None of the environmental organizations that were at the table helping to negotiate this tough regulatory scheme are entities that are out there endorsing and pushing fracking. And all of the groups made that clear at the press conference. We merely said that if fracking is going to occur in this state, it needs to be done in a very highly regulated manner. And that's what we've accomplished. You're not going to see the Sierra Club or any of these other groups out there pushing for fracking in Illinois. There are others that will do that.
That's my job.
That's exactly right. Our groups are going to be very diligent, and Tom knows this, and the industry knows it. We're going to be very diligent to make sure that the laws are properly enforced, and if, in fact, weaknesses occur, we will be back at the table to deal with those weaknesses.
You know, I think another point to make the status quo, not only is there absolutely no regulation, we do know that there are millions of dollars of leases out there in southern Illinois that could be used for fracking, and we know of at least two test wells where experiments are being conducted at this point. So tomorrow, fracking operations could begin, and we just don't want to leave our residents or our environment unprotected.
Well, Representative Williams, and I have a caller standing by. We do want to get to that person pretty quickly, but I just want to get a quick picture of what sort of safeguards are in the bill to prevent any environmental damage from happening due to fracking.
Well, while we're very confident that we have created the strongest regulatory structure in the country, by being able to look at the mistakes that were made in other states, it's certainly not to say that fracking is without risk. However, the legislation does take into account, as Al referenced, an opportunity to look and assess how fracking is going and what impacts it's having on the environment every step of the way. For example, there's some very, very strong prohibitions on open-air ponds for wastewater storage. We don't allow that. Most other states do. We have enclosed tanks for wastewater storage. That's a big deal. Strong waste fluid management requirements. We require comprehensive water monitoring requirements, and you don't see that in a lot of other states. And a real biggie for us, there's a presumption of liability for water pollution. So if a test comes back, the fracker is presumed liable, and that's a big, big deal. We have very, very strong setbacks from water resources, among the strongest in the nation, and our construction standards for wells are very, very high to ensure that we're not going to have leaks or leakage into the water supply. That's just on the water side. On the transparency and public participation side, in terms of chemical disclosure provisions, again, strongest in the nation, and we do have the ability to challenge the trade secret protections that are used in other states to keep chemical disclosure from being released to the public. And in fact, we require the fracking companies to post what chemicals they're using on the Department of Natural Resources website. We have opportunities for public notice and comment, which was a huge priority of the environmental community. Notice of applications for permit, opportunities to hold hearings, public hearing and appeal opportunities, and very, very significantly, the opportunity for citizens to bring suit if there are any violations of the act, if you're adversely affected, not only to sue the fracking companies, but for the department if there's any failure in monitoring the act as required. So these are just a few of the highlights. I've even got to the air quality provision. So again, if we're going to have fracking in Illinois, we want it to be absolutely the strongest it can be and ensure protections for the residents and the environment. And with no regulatory bill, we risk our environmental, you know, protections completely.
And Jim, I want to underscore one of those that Ann talked about, and that's the issue. The biggest concern for many of us has been the issue of protecting water quality so that we have safe water sources for people.
And just make sure people can keep track. This is Alan Grossbold with the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
And Ann stressed this point, and I want to underscore it too. In many states, when flowback occurs, this water comes back up with these various chemicals. It generally goes into open pits. And as we have seen with other operations with open pits, some people familiar with animal waste lagoons, these pits or lagoons can leak, or if we have great floods, they can overflow. And we've seen in other states that's been a serious reason why we've seen some of the pollution. In Illinois, the environmental community was very strong in stating that those were unacceptable, and ultimately, to their credit, the industry agreed that this material would all go into these tanks so that there's a closed cycle. You cannot have the leaking or the overflowing that you would see in open lagoons. That is a huge stipulation and agreement.
Well, let's go ahead to our patient caller. And I believe that's a caller in Charleston. I'm going to check with my technical director if I take this call myself. I'm going to do so. Good morning. You're on the air on Focus.
Hi. Thank you very much.
And
I believe I heard one of your last respondents, Ann, address this. It was the disclosure of the kind of proprietary recipe. And I'm extremely happy to hear that that was put into the legislation, this kind of roadmap to regulation that you talked about. But I wonder, will that hold up as a state requirement if previously the federal government hasn't been able to get that disclosure? Will that hold up? And if it doesn't hold up, will that then be a failure to meet some condition and delay or prevent their fracking attempts?
Jim, this is
Thank
Tom.
You very much. I'll listen online.
Jim, this is Tom. If I think I can do that, if that's okay.
Sure.
And then other folks can chime in. Great question, by the way. The regulatory structure in every state is done by the state, not by the federal government. So currently, and that's really for all oil and gas operations that are done on private property. They're regulated state by state, which I think is a good idea. Every state's different. The geology is different. The water issues are different. The politics and policies are different. So we think there's advantages of basically taking this state by state and having each state protect its own land, water, air, and and work with the industry. So the chemical disclosure that's agreed to in this legislation will hold. It will be the law of the land, and that's what's going to happen. The federal government doesn't have oversight on that.
And if I can chime in, one additional protection regarding trade secrets is that we did provide for the public to have the ability to challenge trade secret designations. So a fracking company just can't say, it's a trade secret, forget about it. This is one of the many components that we really required in the bill, and that is to have the public have as much transparency as possible into the process and the ability to challenge the process where need be.
We're going to take a short break now. We'll be back with more about fracking and fracking legislation now being debated in Springfield. This is Focus on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows. This is Focus, and we're talking today about hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking, and legislation that could bring the practice to Illinois, or rather, I should say, regulate the practice in Illinois. Fracking is already legal in the state of Illinois. My guests right now are Alan Grousbowl of the Environmental Law and Policy Center, who helped negotiate the bill, Tom Wolf of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, and one of the bill's chief co-sponsors, State Representative Ann Williams of Chicago, who is also a chair of the Illinois Green Caucus. Tom Wolf, I wanted to ask you a question about the latest amendment, the one that you described as a slight hiccup, I take it, which was which I guess concerned some aspect of unions involved in the legislation.
Yes, that's correct. And Amanda did a good job reporting, but I do want to correct one thing. She kind of mentioned it as a union issue in general. It's really about a specific union. A couple days ago, there was an amendment filed that included language called licensure, which is for the drilling operators, which means that the ones that would come to the state to drill the wells would have to go through a licensure process, which includes training, and the training would have to be set up and certification. And you know, these oil operators are national companies that don't have to go through licensure in any other state in the country. More than likely, we believe they won't come to the state and go through that process because they have other holes to drill in this country. It's not the only state they're looking at. And even setting up the process in the first place would be a 1 to 2 year process. So you're talking at about a 1 to 2 year delay, really for no reason at all. I mean, the process that they're talking about doesn't need licensure, and again, no other state does that. And that's specific to the operating engineers. Right now, the AFL-CIO, IBEW, pipe fitters are all part of our coalition. They're supporting the bill that we worked very hard with the environmental community and the Attorney General's office and Representative Bradley. So we're working to, you know, hopefully talk about this latest issue and hopefully get it out of the bill and move forward the way we originally thought we were moving forward about a week ago. You know, as you know, every bill is a journey, and this is part of the journey. So we're just working hard to make sure that what the compromise was is, you know, continues to be the compromise that we eventually end up with.
But are you saying that's your belief that if this amendment got in the bill and the bill got passed that way, that it would essentially discourage fracking in Illinois?
We think we don't think it works. It doesn't work on the ground. There's no expertise from the operating engineers on how to drill a well. So again, you're not making it safer. You're not solving anything, and you're just discouraging the practice from happening here in the first place. So we're not sure why it was put in. We don't ask why. We just, you know, put our heads down, talk about the realities of how this works, and try to convince smart people that this isn't necessary and it actually would hurt what we're trying to achieve.
Let's go ahead to one of our callers now. Let's go ahead to line one. And that is Scott in Champaign. And good morning. You're on the air on Focus.
Good morning, folks. I just wanted to make a brief comment from a professional standard. Fracking is going to cause pollution no matter how you handle it, and all you'll really do is open up a bunch of litigation for unemployed lawyers. It's not a derogatory comment, but that's probably what's going to happen.
Okay, Scott. Well, thank you very much. And that raises the question, and perhaps, Alan, if I could ask you about this. What are you seeing in other states where there's been controversy about fracking? If there are environmental issues that rise up, is there going to be litigation?
Well, first off, I'm not sure there's any legislation we can pass that will prevent litigation. I say that somewhat facetiously, but if we were hesitant to act on legislation because of the fear of legislation, we would never pass anything in Springfield. Let me speak to the issue of what's happened in other states. That's a very good point, or a very good question, because we did look at what's happened in other states. We looked at Pennsylvania, where they have not had as strong as standards, particularly as it related to some of the wells and the casements and the issue of how they're handling water. And in fact, they've had some serious pollution problems. We tried to look at the Pennsylvania experience and to build off of that to prevent those things from happening in Illinois. We've looked at North Dakota, where they have massive fracking operations going on right now, almost in an unregulated manner. If you see the satellite photography from the air, you'll see this gigantic lit-up area in the western part of the state where they are just flaring off methane and wasting that natural resource that could be used to power facilities or could be sold. We looked at North Dakota and said, we don't really want that to be happening here in Illinois. So the experiences in other states have helped us to craft a bill that will prevent and avoid many of the problems that we have been seeing that concern us.
Well, and this is Ann. The caller also mentioned that pollution is inevitable. And I would just say the extraction of fossil fuels from the earth does pose environmental risks, whether it's coal, oil, and fracking, certainly no exception. That's why we really need to push and advocate, and I know the LPC strongly supports this, to push for policies that encourage the use and development of renewable energy, wind and solar. That we can get excited about. The reality is, though, we want our lights to go on. We flip the switch. We want to drive from place to place in our cars. And until the time comes when we can power everything with renewables, the reality is we have to utilize these other sources. And so our job as environmental advocates is to ensure we have the strongest safeguards in place when we do. Just sitting out really is not an option.
Tom Wolf, let me ask the question to you for the State Chamber of Commerce. Since certainly no industry involved in fracking would look forward to being sued on anything, does a regulatory structure like this, do you think, make lawsuits less likely?
I think I'm with Al on this one. There's nothing that makes a lawsuit less likely. We live in that kind of society, and we don't necessarily concern ourselves with that detail. I think that the reality is if you look at other states, and the environmental community has done that as well, we worked very hard for, I think, 10 months on looking at other states to find out what people thought they did well, what people thought they could do better, and worked very hard on legislation that is the toughest in the country to, again, find that sweet spot, allow this industry to grow and come here and hopefully grow and do it in a way that doesn't affect the environment or affects it the least amount. I agree with Representative Williams that, we do need alternative fuels in the future. Fossil fuels will not last forever. There's a lot more than people thought, but still, we need to look forward in the future. But currently we do heat our, 80% of Illinoisans get their heat from natural gas. We mostly use crude oil products for our transportation. And, if you look at the operations in other states, we've been able to turn the tide on using imported oil. We used to import 60% of our oil. Now we're only importing 40% of our oil. A lot of it has to do, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with hydraulic fracturing and the oil and gas that's come out of the ground because of that. Also has to do with us being more efficient with our use of oil. We're actually using that product more efficiently. So that's all good news. So I think it's important, and listen, the chambers for jobs, we always want the economic development. If we thought that this couldn't be done safely and could not be done in a way that couldn't protect the air, land, and water, we would not be for it. Looking at other states, looking at this legislation, we think it can be done with managed risk and get the product that we need, that we use every day out of the ground, get the economic development with it, and protect our environment.
This is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and still time for your questions about fracking and the fracking legislation pending in Springfield. With Tom Wolf of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, Alan Grosbol of the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and a chief co-sponsor of the bill in question, State Representative Ann Williams in Chicago. Let's go ahead now to another phone call on line two, and let's say hello to Paul in Champaign County. Good morning, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning, group. Well, I wanted to say something sort of overarching, which is that it seems to me the hydrocarbon industry protests too much because the ads that are just deluging Illinois right now and the nation are just remind me a lot of the petrochemical companies' campaign to tell us that global warming wasn't going to be a danger. They've dumped a lot of money. Chesapeake Energy put $26 million in the Sierra Club, arguing that natural gas is better than coal, and marginally it is, but fracking is still untested, it seems to me, in a large ways, and expanding it. The specific thing I wanted to address is who's regulating this? The cutbacks to DNR, there are only 12 fracking inspectors right now. Voluntary reporting just doesn't cut it. And the setbacks have been questioned by people who live in the area and analysts who are outside the larger group of environmentalists, it seems to me. I just don't think I don't think that's a specific that I think needs to be dealt with. The numbers that I've seen are actually pretty bad. So, as far as setbacks from water sources and schools and that sort of thing.
Well, Paul, let's take that question to Representative Ann Williams. And do you feel that the state is ready to take on the regulatory burden of this bill?
Well, I think that that's one of the reasons the severance taxes and regulatory fee issue is so critical. And while after months of discussion, we did come to a delicate agreement on the provisions of the bill related to water and air protections, et cetera, this is the outstanding issue. And until we have, your caller's right, unless and until we have adequate resources via severance taxes or fees, we would be unable to properly regulate it. But that's why we are talking about taxes. We're talking about fees. The structure, however, is in place for the department to write rules as necessary to effectuate the intent of the legislation. And again, there are a number of opportunities for the public to weigh in, permitting and otherwise, as to what and how the department moves forward. So again, the taxes component is critical to ensuring that can happen properly.
Yeah, Jim, this is Tom Wolf. I would echo that. I mean, the there are in the legislation as it was negotiated, not just the revenue side. There is a permit fee that for each well that's drilled, that is I think $13,000 per permit, and that money goes directly to the Department of Natural Resources and the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, so they do have the resources in place to regulate the industry. And again, the industry will be actually funding through the permit process the oversight, which is the industry wants a good oversight. The industry wants people who are out there getting the permits done, looking over the operations, and making sure they're done right. That's what that's good for the industry. So that's why that permit fee is in there specifically for that reason.
And I want to make sure the taxes and the fees are in the bill. They're not something that have to be added on.
That is correct.
Jim, could I speak to the setback issue?
Yes, Alan.
So your caller, I think, makes a very good point. The setbacks are important. And to be honest with you, this is one of the topics where the environmental community argued for stronger setbacks. But even with the setbacks that were agreed to in the bill, some of the setbacks are the strongest in the nation. For example, if you have a public water source intake area, the fracking has to be at least 1,500 feet away from that. I believe in looking at the other states that is the longest setback for those type of facilities. In addition to that, we require, I think, 500-foot setbacks for residences, churches, nursing homes, schools, hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. So nature preserves. These are more valuable land properties here in this state. I think there's a 750-foot setback from nature preserves. So the law does, in fact, include some pretty strong setbacks. They are not weak compared to other states. Again, the environmental community would have liked those to have been even stronger, but nevertheless, we're satisfied that they're pretty good setbacks.
I want to ask now, Alan, because I have seen reports that not all environmental groups have signed on with this bill. Not all were involved in the negotiations. And there are certainly people in southern Illinois where I guess where the fracking would occur who have not come on in favor of this. Do you see support in the environmental movement that is broad-based and also in southern Illinois for this bill?
The answer is that this legislation, I believe, is going to pass. The split, if you want to call it that, is a split, and I think you've identified it correctly. You've got local organizations that are in some of the regions that could be impacted that are not supportive of, you know, quite frankly, anything at this point. They've said they would like a moratorium, but what they're really asking for is a ban, a complete ban on fracking. Unfortunately, from that perspective, the legislature is not going to pass a ban on fracking. And from an environmental standpoint, I think it would be irresponsible for the environmental community not to choose to be at the negotiating table to negotiate tough legislation. And that's what all of the state's major environmental organizations considered this, and all of them came back with the same conclusion, which was go to the negotiating table, get the strongest regulations possible. The groups do not have to support fracking. They don't have to be advocating for it. But the groups did conclude it was important to get to the table and get the toughest regulations possible. I think eventually these regulations are going to pass, and Illinois will be a model in terms of what the regulations should look like in the nation.
What you're saying then is that it's that your belief that fracking is coming. It's not enough for environmental groups just to stay away from any fracking legislation, but to get as much as they can.
Well, I think that's right. We're a democracy, and many, many, many groups are in Springfield and are talking to their legislators, and the legislature has to sort all of that out. And it has become pretty clear, not only in Illinois, but in most states, that the conclusion is we're going to have fracking, and the only issue is, are we going to have weak regulations or are we going to have stringent regulations? And in Illinois, I believe the legislature, and we want to thank Ann Williams a great deal for this. Ann was at the table ensuring that every question of a significant nature was being properly addressed and answered. The Attorney General did the same thing, Lisa Madigan. So the result of that is we're going to have tough regulations in this state. I think they're going to pass. And I would just stress one thing. We're not done on this issue. If fracking does then come to Illinois, we and others, including the Attorney General, are going to be watching the industry very, very closely.
Absolutely.
So we're not done with this issue. And Tom, I don't think that's a surprise to you, and certainly is not a surprise to the industry. We will be watching very closely to make sure that the laws are being adhered to and that we have not overlooked something that should have been in there.
Yeah, this is Tom Wolf. We certainly expect that. That's what oversight's all about. I mean, let's be clear about something. There are members of the industry who think this legislation goes too far. It's overregulation. And there are folks on the environmental side who obviously don't like where things are. You know, that's what compromise looks like. I mean, you know, a lot of people are complaining about politicians in Springfield and Washington not coming to the table and compromising with the leadership of Representative Williams, Representative Bradley, Representative Rice, and Rice and others. You know, they came to a hard-fought, you know, hours and hours and hours of discussion and came up with a compromise that both sides think can work. And we're willing to go forward hand in hand and move forward. But it is not it's not the end; it's the beginning, and it's the beginning for the industry as well, because the industry changes. The industry finds other ways, maybe less water, maybe different chemicals, you know, to extract the product out of the ground, and you know that will be continued. There'll be continued oversight, continued discussions, and that's to be expected. I hope it's under a portfolio where we're having success in getting product and creating jobs and having economic development in southeastern Illinois, and it's also in an environment where it's being done safely.
And you know, William, sorry, just want to say about just 30 seconds left, I wanted to ask you, do you feel that this bill is going to pass? Is it going to pass this session?
I think there's a good chance it will move forward. And for those that just want to say, no to any discussion. I get it. I'm not excited about fracking. I'm not excited about coal mining. I'm not endorsing fracking in any way. But I think when it comes to making laws to protect our environment, ideologically based advocacy is not the answer. We need to make policy based on reality. And at the end of the day, that will leave our environment protected and our residents as well. And that's why we're looking and having these discussions.
We're going to have to end the discussion for now right there. The bill is House Bill 2615, the Hydraulic Fracturing Regulatory Act. And I want to say thank you to my guests, State Representative Ann Williams, a chief co-sponsor, Tom Wolf of the Illinois State Chamber of Commerce, and Alan Grossbold of the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and earlier Amanda Vinicky of Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau. Thanks to you all. Tomorrow on Focus, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, ADHD, an increasing number of people being diagnosed with it. We'll be talking with Dr. Craig Sermon of the Harvard Medical School about the disorder, ways to treat it with and without medication. That's tomorrow on Focus here on WILL.